with a dynamite selection each and every time, yeah.
You are tuned to Booked on Katie and K. My name is Gavin Dahl, and this has been a very fun show. We've started here on Thursdays this year, interviewing authors and reporters and columnists about their work in their own words. You can check out the archives on kdnk.org. And it's not just me. We've had other author interviews and some really interesting stuff. Our news director, Lucas Turner, had on the best-selling author Cory Doctorow this year, talked to him about his new book, and also a great training ground for up-and-coming hosts. Don't forget the next DJ and host training at Katie and K will be on third Thursday in January, January 16th, so you too can get involved and express yourself on the airwaves. Today, we have a very special guest in the studio. You know him and love him, Will Grandbois. Thank you, sir.
I think you're making presumptions there, Gavin.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
I think you're a beloved part of the media landscape in our valley. And Will, of course, the editor of the Soper's Sun. And I thought I was a young leader of a nonprofit media outlet in this valley when I was made general manager at KD&K. But I'm quite a bit older than Will.
You're really... We don't need to play it this way, Gavin. You're a bit older than me. You're
That's
in
true.
A different decade.
Yes,
but I'm swiftly approaching that 30 mark. So we got. Then I think we'll be. I don't know. I haven't paid a lot of attention. He's got like a family and stuff, though. So he does make me feel young and experienced.
No. Okay. So the Soper's Sun, of course, Carbondale's weekly community connector, because every town needs a park, a library, and a newspaper. And the new issue out this week is a very colorful year in review edition. And so for today's show, the last Booked of 2019, and in the former time slot of the Soper's Sun's former radio show, we just wanted to kind of look back over the year, kind of take a tour through the paper. And then before we wrap up and pass over the controls to Amy Marsh for Valley Voices, we also want to talk a little bit about what's the latest at the Soper's Sun and how the year was for you guys. But let's start with the news. In January, you had quite a bit of coverage. I mean, it's been a busy year in the news department. But what were kind of the things you pulled out from January for your year in review?
Well, you know, the one that stands out to me from January is it was the government shutdown. And we didn't see the effects of that too heavily locally, but the Forest Service was shut down. And that's something that I've actually sort of heard about a couple of times since then. I spoke with our new, Aspen Soper's Ranger District head honcho. And, everybody, they certainly felt that. And during that time, somebody tied a yellow ribbon around the post out in front of the office here in Carbondale, and that was sort of greatly appreciated. But it seemed like January, and I think it maybe often is, was kind of national politics really trickled down here. The things that were big news locally were, weather-wise, it was certainly a different year from the year before. We were having big ice flows. By the time we were getting into March, we were talking about avalanche warnings. You guys remember it. You guys remember the year before that, where we were worried about fire by March. So we're always on this little balance point between Ragnarok and Armageddon, I guess, with fire and ice.
Yeah.
Year was ice, and the year before that was fire, and maybe we'll, knock on wood, we'll see what next year looks like. But that was a perfect time for them to come up with a winter triathlon. It was an interesting time for the Schutte property to sort of release its draft proposal that said, hey, we're going to be closed in winter for wildlife, which hopefully folks are respecting now. And that kind of got us into spring.
And that was a Bureau of Land Management decision, the Schutte closure?
Correct, yeah. I mean, there are a few things that sort of finally wrapped up in 2019 that have been going back and forth for years and years. The Schutte exchange, was a process and still probably could be. Governmental affairs are always, there are always appeals, there are always options to sort of bring it back up again. But for now, it looks like, you know, we have a government property out behind Red Hill and some private property that used to be public land up on the slopes of Sopras there and elsewhere.
A couple of big development stories in 2019. We'll touch on a little bit more this hour. But in February, the mini storage site was actually rejected. And you know, there's a lot of talk about big development, but not every project gets approved.
No, that's true. And that was an interesting one. You know, the town of Carbondale got to weigh in on it, although it wasn't technically neither project was in city limits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then that's one of the few occasions that the Sun, we're pretty hyper local. We don't typically try to cover county issues unless they're Carbondale related. We sent somebody down and covered these meetings in Glenwood Springs. And the final decision was, wow, these are out of scope with what we want to see in the county. And certainly that's a different metric than what's in town. We're seeing that now, you know, with the rabbits. There is a different sort of way that a municipality looks at what kind of development they want to see. The county is looking for something more rural, more spread out. You know, they just have a different perspective on what's appropriate than a municipality does. And every municipality has its own idea. So we may still see mini storage somewhere. We might see it in Eagle County because they have a completely different approach. But anyway, those two proposals were shut down. A lot of other ones have been approved. I mean, we're seeing things go vertical. And actually, a story that we wrote in the first quarter of this year that did not make the Urn Review because it was sort of big picture itself was, wow, man, if all of the things that have been approved actually start to go vertical, people are going to really see the landscape of this town change. You know, outside of the Thompson House, that's sprung up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure folks
by Ross Montessori
it.
School, yeah.
City Market is finally vertical. That's you know, talk about things that have been going back and forth for a solid decade.
And then you guys have been covering the new Sopras Lofts that are approved now at the intersection of Main and 133 by the traffic circle.
Mm-hmm. Sopras Lodge would be another one, a senior housing facility down at the end of Second Street. You know, the Stein property, I guess it's not the Stein property anymore, on the opposite side from 7-Eleven on the intersection of Main and 133, kind of butting up against Colorado there, that has been approved and then, you know, changed ownership and has been approved again. So, you know, and then we're seeing ownership shuffles, the various properties, you know, the one right across from the studio here and the one that previously had a Christmas tree in it until a couple of weeks before Christmas. Those are now in new hands, and who knows what we'll see going up there.
Well, seems like generally a good year for seniors in Carbondale. You mentioned the development of the new senior housing down to the north of KD&K, but also the age-friendly community initiative kind of really took off this year.
Yeah, Kafke, those folks, it's been their year for sure, and I'm sure that I know they have a lot they want to do still. We sort of did our first story on them, you know, back at the beginning of the year, and they were this fledgling organization just trying to find a voice. Since then, we've had an age-friendly community.
Designation
yeah. Formally. We've seen multiple you know, meetings and events to bolster this. The town council is very much on board. It seems like they're only building momentum rather than, you know, many times something like that fizzles out. You have a group of people who are interested about one issue, downtown access. Hey, let's get the timing on these lights fixed, or let's get some more benches downtown, and that gets fixed and it's sort of that everybody goes home. But these guys, they see a lot of things that just need, you know, not a necessarily a systemic overhaul, but hey, let's keep the senior voice. And they've been really emphasizing, you know, you make it accessible to seniors. That also makes it accessible to folks with physical disabilities or any number of people that might struggle with noise, with walking, with any sort of access that
the rest of us take for granted.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, one last thing from Q1 I want to mention is the town power goes renewable.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because, you know, we also saw a lot of headlines about Glenwood Springs and their moves toward renewable energy. And it's a really hard thing to measure. The town of Carbondale is really interested in making sure that its claim at 100% renewable, and that's within municipality, municipal facilities. So making sure the town hall and the waterworks and all of that are offset in some way. They've worked really hard to make sure that that's a real figure. That's not just a sort of, I've heard the phrase pie in the sky or, wishful thinking. And that most of those sources that they're using are sourced locally and maybe wouldn't exist without the town's support. They're not just buying into something that already would have happened anyway. So that's a big point for them, but it was also interestingly for our trustees, it was kind of a, yeah, this is great. I'm glad we got here, but we need to do more. And we haven't stopped hearing about things like that since then, in terms of changes to the building code, the plastic discussion, the trustees are really on a tear of, hey, we want to do more in the face of climate change and generally to assist the environment.
And along those same lines, in April, Mayor Dan Richardson joined a delegation of locals heading to D.C.
Yeah.
Mr. Richardson goes to Washington.
Well, yeah, and not just Dan. There was a pretty good crew of local folks, including our former mayor, Stacey Bernot, that all headed down to support the CORE Act, which has passed the House, but it's going to have a tough time in the Senate, which, that's how things are at this particular moment in history when you're talking about environmental protection.
That's the Colorado Outdoor Recreation Economy Act, and, part of the ongoing discussion around the Thompson Divide and other important issues. So something for us to watch. We talked about this being a good year for seniors in our community. Also saw some pretty big news for young people. Not only some big news in youth sports, which I don't think we really have time to get into today, but also you mentioned in your year in review, kids nab big scholarships. What was that one about?
Well, yeah, it's been really gratifying in the 3 years I've been at the Sun to see just a ton of kids out of Roaring Fork High School achieve Boettcher or Daniels scholarships, which are kind of the big two in this state. The Boettcher is a full ride anywhere in the state. The Daniels is a full ride anywhere in the country with some sort of living expenses built in. It's about as awesome a deal as you can be handed to go to college. And the two kids that got it this year had sort of the interesting element of both of their siblings had been awarded the same scholarships before, although one of them had turned it down because she got the Boettcher and wanted to go out of state. But anyway, hopefully I actually haven't had a chance to check in with them, but hopefully they're off at their schools of choice enjoying that. And
well, congrats
and
to
us proud.
The Tytler family and the Andrade family. And then one of the big things that definitely had impact for us at KD&K, and I think people took note of this year, technically outside of the bounds of Carbondale, was the temporary, arts campus at Willits, temporary location closed in May. And we knew that was coming, but it's definitely not the same music scene and not the same art scene without that important player in booking unique stuff. And for KD&K, where we do hundreds of ticket giveaways a year, I mean, that took a bite out of the options for KD&K members to score benefits. But it's also it's not the end of the story, right?
So exactly. No, I think that's been the really, when we got that word and ended up doing the story, and then it actually took place in May, it felt pretty bleak because the temporary, in the same way that the Pac-3 did in Carbondale a while back, seemed to be fulfilling a really fundamental need that folks had for a performing arts space that maybe wasn't right in a residential area or had a good size occupancy and was sort of booking things full time. Right, we love Steve's, we love the Belly Up, but there are lots of great venues, but there really isn't another temporary in the area. Doing the breadth of programming and the frequency. So especially in the Mid-Valley. So it's been really gratifying to see them continue to do programming, despite the fact that they don't have a space. You know, they had the big Jazz Around Town event in the fall. There's that Taka brand is still all over a lot of things. And the permanent, or the contemporary,
yes,
it's been accelerated as a result. So we get to be kind of excited about, oh, we're going to have not just a kind of edgy stage in the back of a big building, but something that's built for that purpose, for entertainment. We're gonna have to step up our own game in Carbondale to keep up with what's going on in Willits when they get really rolling.
Well, and one more Mid-Valley story from Q2 this year was the shooting range recommendations came out.
Yeah, they did. It was sort of more of the status quo than I think some folks were hoping for. The Lake Christine fire in general still brought us it had impacts well beyond the dousing of the fire. The fate of the shooting range that was sort of implicated in starting it, the fact that the fire seems to have been started at the shooting range by some folks who were shooting and not necessarily doing that in a way that they felt that complied with regulations and that folks would have considered appropriate. That discussion kind of wrapped up. I suspect it will continue to be one for some time into the future. And then, of course, there was the mudslides that came a little past that into Q3, we'll say.
Further consequences of last year's big news story.
Yeah.
We're talking to Will Grandbois, editor of the Soper Sun, and we just have about 10 minutes left looking back at the year in news that's in this current issue of the Soper Sun, a very colorful cover available on newsstands around Carbondale and beyond. Looking into the summer, there were quite a few interesting stories. What kind of emerged for you as you went back through everything you covered?
Well, I think that we talked a little bit earlier about access, and I think that Tribes in the summer really sort of put us in a mode, us as a community and also us as the Soper Sun, about thinking about who are the folks we aren't serving. Tribes in particular brought to light the deaf community, and we had somebody from the production sort of call us out in a op-ed on the subject of, hey, you guys aren't really doing what it takes to give equal access to folks that can't hear. A little later, we caught up with some folks who were dealing with blindness. You guys sort of led that charge with your new radio show,
The Tactile Traveler.
Correct. We also, there was the aforementioned discussion about the elderly. And we even, at the same time, we were talking sort of about, it's not exactly access, but our openness to the LGBTQ community that came through, in the big pride parade that the Carbondale Middle School put on.
Pretty significant in terms of Carbondale standards.
Yeah,
it's unique.
It was. And that's part of why that cover is colorful. You know, it's been a heck of a year, and there have been a lot of rainbow themes, and I think they, to various degrees, were geared toward that. But obviously the Pride Parade was the one event that was explicitly and exclusively about inclusion, about BU. And that doesn't necessarily have to be about your gender identity or your sexuality. They're just sort of preaching inclusiveness. So I think it was, we could call it a summer of love in Carbondale if you wanted to go that far.
I'm in. Well, one of the biggest stories of the year in 2019 across KD&K's listening area is the ongoing story about the proposed expansion of the quarry in Glenwood Springs. And you guys covered in September Glenwood Springs City Council requesting Carbondale join in opposition to the proposed expansion. This is the limestone quarry over near the transfer trail. Not exactly a story that's sort of in the wheelhouse of the Soper Sun focused on Carbondale, but pretty newsworthy to have so many other local governments all sign on with Glenwood to say, we don't want this.
Absolutely. If we were doing a you're in review for the Roaring Fork Valley or Garfield County, this would be our top story. The fact that the Sober Sun is not a Glenwood Springs publication is the only reason we've sort of mostly stayed out of this, except when Glenwood came to ask Carbondale for help. But clearly, I mean, if you look at the national and regional coverage, it's the story that's really sort of become microcosm of some of the larger national debates. It has pretty big implications for all of the parties involved, and they're all, the rhetoric is pretty big on each part. You know, Glenwood Springs is talking about it being a war or a wildfire, and you know, we get the context of that. So you quoted
the mayor of Carbondale, Dan Richardson, saying, "While it's clearly a local issue for Glenwood, it has much broader implications." That's definitely the case.
Certainly, I mean, we're looking at extractive industry, and we're looking at a small town that's opposed to it. And if Glenwood sort of comes out on top, that will send one message. And if Rocky Mountain Resources gets its expansion, that'll send another one. And those will have repercussions, not just for neighboring communities that see Glenwood as an economic hub, but for any small town that maybe have a different outlook on what goes on outside its borders than the nation at large would have in mind.
Another big story this year is the shift in how trash is collected in Carbondale. What's your take on how that's played out from a newsman's perspective?
Well, I know I got a lot of complaint calls in that first month of, hey, you know, my old trash can hasn't been picked up, or I haven't, you know, it's always a rocky rollout.
They're like, Will? Why isn't my trash can?
It seems like, hey, I want you to investigate this personally,
which is
of course our job.
Yeah.
It was an interesting challenge, though, because I had been in the room covering this over and over again, and it wasn't going to catch me by surprise. Mm-hmm. It is always frustrating when someone says, "I didn't see this coming," and I went, "Oh God, you're not reading the paper because we've told you all about it."
Right. The
rollout was, I think, a little challenging for everybody, and it's not 100% resolved. It seems like most people have sort of settled into their service, and I haven't heard a lot more agitation since then. Although we did have somebody at a recent trustee meeting saying, "I really want to opt out of this. I haul my stuff to the dump. Even your smallest service is an expense I can't afford." So my understanding is the trustees will be reviewing that sometime in January to say, "All right, what's the formal process if you really?" If it just isn't working for you.
And big story from the November elections locally was the library's funding.
Absolutely. I mean, quite a few stories coming out of the November elections. I know it was a light year, relatively speaking. You know, for us at the Sober Sun, the upcoming trustee election in April is almost a bigger deal. But certainly for the libraries, that was their story of the year. They're going to have a lot more behind them that isn't tied to oil and gas, that doesn't have so much of a boom and bust, although of course property taxes follow the same trends, and there it's going to give them the ability, hopefully, to be open longer hours, to hire more staff, to do more programming. So hopefully we'll get to see that. And it's been a frustrating few years, I think, for a lot of folks who remember the libraries when they had more funding, to watch them cut back their hours and cut back their collections and have to run on a skeleton crew. So.
Yeah, and beautiful facilities close too much.
Right? Exactly.
When I spoke to Carbondale branch manager Lacey Dunleavy just the other day, and she said, yeah, they're gearing up for some hiring beginning of the year, so that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. One more thing I'd just like to, I mean, for me, the big story of the fall was the soccer boys going all the way to the state finals. And that's, again, more than just what it is on the surface. It's a bunch of scrappy small town kids, you know, going up against a big Front Range private school, At least holding them back for the first half.
And getting all the way there, making the locals proud. So, well, I think we're out of time on the recap. I just, in the couple minutes that we have left with Will Grambaugh looking at the year in review in the Soper Sun, I also just wanted to touch on what's going on with the paper. Big time shifts in staffing with Megan Tackett going up to Aspen and bringing on some great people onto staff. Also, just I want to applaud you, and even though you're the news side of the operation and not running the business end of things so much, not serving in a publisher role, the response to Todd's work as the new head of advertising there has been unanimously positive from what I've seen as mm-hmm. a friend and ally of the paper. Everyone I talk to in the business community and the chamber events and stuff is so thrilled with Todd's work. The ads have been looking great. I feel like as a trade partner, KD&K is very well represented. And so we just, just want to say good work on that. Also, after winning some big awards at the Colorado Press annual conference, you had a record year online. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Well, you gave me a lot to talk about there, Gavin. for me, there were probably two, we'll call it three big moments. There was the moment at our 10th birthday when Terry pulled me aside and told me she was leaving. Terry Ritchie, who was our graphic designer from almost day one, did it for 10 years. She's been an absolute rock. And yes, thank you, Gavin. We've had a lot of turnover in the last year. We finally settled into something of a groove. Certainly Terry's absence is something that has been palpable throughout it. Putting out the, I took charge of the Color the Cover, Spruce Up the Sun contest. And that's, a whole thing that has always been Terry. And luckily she was able to come and help us. So that's been a huge adjustment. And it was sort of that high point of hitting 10 years. And then, oh darn, we're really going to have to, this is going to be a lot to work up. And since then, we had around that same time, we had Jane Bachrach leave. We've seen turnover, as you noted, in our ad department as our reporter. We won all those awards, which was extremely gratifying. A little bittersweet because some of those awards were going to folks who were no longer on the team.
Right.
And then in October, we put out a 28-page paper, which is something that's almost never happened at the Soper Sun. It was the second one ever. So that's a huge indicator of how Todd's doing, hopefully how the community views us and the value they see coming out of our advertising. So as far as the record year online, that's another indicator. That's another metric.
Over 100,000?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, when I took over, we were doing 30,000 a year. So we're glad people are interested, and we've put in the work to make a better website and hopefully be accessible to folks who aren't always going to pick up the paper in person.
And a good reminder that just like KD&K, the Soper Sun relies on tax-deductible donations at the end of the year. And you can always find more information. What's the website for people who haven't ever read The Sun online?
SoperSun.com. We keep it simple.
Will Grambaugh, great job this year. And thank you so much for sticking by KD&K.
Well, thanks, KD&K, for always being a wonderful ally and a resource to Carbondale and beyond.